All right, so tonight's Wednesday night. Got storms coming, but we're going to make it. And we're going to cover some really good stuff tonight. For those, I have a whole bunch of people I'm sending links out. If you get the whatever I link to, you can just read it or play, and then they have the menu at the top, and you can listen. And Saturday, we're going to do something really special. We're doing, we finished More About Alcoholism on Saturday morning, and we are going to have a special first step looking at understanding our problem. And I have a handout, and it's going to be really good before we get on to We Agnostics. Sunday night, we are, where are we on this? Sunday night, we're really covering 10th step, and we finished the one paragraph on page 84 about how we stay in the world of the Spirit. And last week, we did the recovered promises and how we stay in fit spiritual condition. And then this next week, we're going to look at what we must carry into all of our affairs and how we stay in fit spiritual condition. And I was working with Scott when We Agnostics, and I've got some, I'm going to make a handout on that I think you'll really find helpful. It's something that just came to me, and I'll have that on Sunday night on how we stay in the world of the Spirit, how we get into the world of the Spirit, and how the steps work to put us there. So tonight we're finishing To Wives, and we're on page 119. And then tonight I'm just going to let you know I'm going to look back at other pages. I'll try to make them clear, because this in these last three pages, there's so much information that ties together other information in the book. And I've gotten so much out of this chapter. And then actually, the next chapter is the family afterwards. We may cover a little bit of that tonight, but it moves right into it. It's really how we get back into life in the world. And remember, it says we have to practice the principles in all our affairs. And we don't talk about that enough. That's the third part of the 12th step, but that's what these chapters are about. How do we practice the principles and live with other people and live in harmony with the world? It says it's probably true that you and your husband, I'm at the bottom of the page, have been spending too much time alone, for drinking many times isolates the wife of an alcoholic. It isolates the alcoholic too, right? He's separated from God in his own world, really. And here's, it says, therefore, you probably need fresh interests. And I wrote, besides your husband or wife, because you spent all your time, right? And Bert's laughing because she knows we spend so much time trying to fix the alcoholic. They become our higher power. We don't realize it. And besides him, I wrote, and it says, a great cause to live for as much as your husband. So what is my great cause to live for? What is AA's great cause? I wrote, to serve God and others, to get myself in fit spiritual condition so I can be of service to God and others, and so I can practice love, patience, tolerance, kindness in all my affairs. Just a few things, and I wrote, do you have a great cause to live for? Everybody in this room, what is the great cause that you're all living for? It used to be self-centered things, right? It used to be things that we wanted or thought we needed to be happy, but now I just want to be of service to God. I want to submit myself to God. I want to do His will. It says, if you cooperate rather than complain, you will find that His excess enthusiasm will turn down. They're talking about enthusiasm for AA. But that's a good thing. If I cooperate rather than complain about my spouse or someone else, I'll be received better. I think of the second theory, there are a couple of main themes of AA. One is I have to submit myself to God. I can't play God anymore. I need His direction. The second one is how I be each day determines what I do. And how I be determines what I get out of every situation. And what I bring into every situation determines what I get out of it. I don't know if you've seen that. And so it's the book is always asking us, how do we be? And then how we do. It says, both of you will awaken to a new sense of responsibility for others. Notice the word awaken. We talk about spiritual awakening. We awaken to a sense of responsibility for others. What was our responsibility for me before I came in here? To myself, right? and to serving what I thought I wanted. But now we have a new attitude and outlook on life. Remember, I talk about that in the book a lot, right? And my new attitude and outlook is to have responsibility for others. So I wrote change from self to service. It says you as well as your husband ought to think of what you can put into life instead of how much you can take out. That's another one of these lines that these are spiritual principles I should live by. So I have a sense of responsibility to others, and I should think constantly of what I can put into life instead of how much you can take out. Now, I think we read on page, or we're going to read it on Sunday, on page 85, it says, on the second paragraph there on page 85, it says, the thoughts that must go with me constantly is how can I best serve thee, thy will not by done. And it says, I must carry a vision of God's will in all my activities on page 85. It says, we can exercise my willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of my will. So the proper use of my will is the thing, think constantly of how I can serve God and others. So they tie that together in this paragraph. And it says, inevitably, your lives will be fuller for doing so. Do you agree with that? And it says, I will lose the old life to find a much better one. Well, I'm really glad to lose the old life. I don't want it back. Anybody want their life back to the day they decide to quit?
No.
No. Let's not. But I don't want to forget how bad it is, right? Ever. And because if I do, then I'm starting to take back my powerlessness. Now on page 86, this paragraph ties together with page 86, which is what we do at night. And when it says on page 86, it says, when I retire at night, I review each day. I do that. And do I owe an apology? Have I been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at all? And then here's where it ties into these new spiritual principles. Was I kind and loving towards all? I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, and I'm studying scripture now, so there are two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your might, and love your neighbors yourself. Am I practicing love? Am I kind and loving towards all? And I think that's our goal when we're connected to God. I'm kind and loving. Now, if I'm kind and loving and I bring that into a situation, it's going to go a lot better. Now, if any of you ever had resentments, anybody ever had a resentment or a negative interaction, well, what I learned from that is I brought things in there that wasn't kind and loving. You know, I might have had an attitude. You know what I'm talking about. And this speaker, Hector, I still never forget this. I was listening to it, and he said this, and I said, holy crap. He said, the only thing lacking in every situation is the love I don't bring into it. Now, think about that. If I'm bringing love into every situation, it's going to be okay. So if I'm disturbed, it's because I'm not bringing love into this situation. And then it says, what could I have done better? Was I thinking about myself all the time? Or was I thinking of what I can do for others, of what I could be pack into the stream of life? So you see, the paragraph 186 is what we're supposed to look at our day. Am I accomplishing those things? And that's tied into here in what I can put into life instead of how much I can take out. It's a whole change in my attitude and outlook on life. And so now I'm back on 120. I'm sorry if I skip around. I'm trying to make it clear where I am. It says, perhaps your... Now, this is a tough paragraph. We won't skip this. Let's read it. Perhaps your husband will make a fair start on the new basis, but just as things are going beautifully, he dismays you by coming home drunk. I've never heard of that before. If you are satisfied, he really wants to go to drinking. Now, it's interesting how they put this. If I'm satisfied that the alcoholic really wants to get over it, or they defeated this time, then I need not be alarmed. Though it is infinitely better that he have no relapse at all, as has been true with many of our men, it is by no means a bad thing in some cases. It may be what people need to do to finally surrender and submit. It said, well, because alcohol brought us to our knees, right? Under the lash of alcoholism, right? And so Maybe it'll bring them to their knees. And it says, your husband, this is interesting, your husband will see at once that he must redouble his spiritual activities if he expects to survive. Redouble his spiritual exercises. Now on page, with Jim, remember Jim? Jim, he took the first two steps, first three steps, remember? On page 35, and it says, because this is a warning, and this is probably why people relapse. It says, on page 35, Jim knew, they told Jim what they knew of alcoholism, and the answer they had found, right? And he made a beginning. So his family's reassembled. He began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost to drinking. All went well for a time. So a lot of people come here, and they've reassembled. But here's a warning. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, means bewilderment, he found himself drunk. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was an alcoholic and in serious condition. But he never went further. Just accepting your powers over alcohol won't give you treatment for alcoholism, right? And so the whole thing is you must have a spiritual solution. Remember, we have two choices. We can go on to an alcoholic death or what? Live a spiritual life. And it says these aren't easy alternatives to face. Now, it's funny because what they mean by that is not that, well, of course, you don't want to die, so you're going to live a spiritual life, right? But I think what they're saying is a lot of people can't see that there's only two choices. And they make a third choice. They'll make a plan. And it's not this plan. And so it says you must have a spiritual life or else. It's on the same page, we agnostics. And so it requires complete defeat, but I must understand I can't fix this. Here's another thing that I thought of. It says if we had mere code of morals or better philosophy, right, we would overcome alcoholism, right? Sounds good, right? Well, this is a code of morals, this book, right? And this is a philosophy of life, but it's not mine. So my code of morals and my philosophy of life could never fix it. And in fact, today, I can wake up in the morning and say, I'm really going to do great today. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be so good that they're going to put me on CNN at 11 o'clock. But here's the thing, and I don't have the power to do that. See, I think a lot of people think that we have the power to do the perfect, but I can't follow through in it. I don't have the power. What I need to do is say, I want to do better, God. God, I will submit to you, God. Help me do better. Keep me from overreacting. You see, it's a whole change in my attitude. And for a long time, I would still say that, but I would still think, well, I'm going to do better, right? And that's nothing wrong with that, but it's not the power. I don't have the choice to do better. I only have the choice to seek God, and then I'll do better. It says, you need not remind him of his spiritual deficiency. I'm back at 120. He will know of it. So I think when they wrote this, if you know about your spiritual deficiency, then you've hit a bottom of sorts. You might be completely defeated. And it's a nice way of saying hitting bottom. Cheer him up and ask him how you can still be more helpful. Now, here's a paragraph I'm not sure that I agree with or understand. It says, the slightest sign of fear or intolerance may lessen your husband's chance of recovery. Well, that sounds really good, but I don't think alcoholics need an excuse to drink. You see what I mean? We'll take anything, but what they're telling you is try not to be afraid and try not to be intolerant. But that's very hard, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if I have the power not to have fear and tolerance too, and so it shows that they're so scared about the husband. He's in a precarious situation because it's a really tough thing to do this and stay sober. In a weak moment, he may take your dislike of his high-stepping friends as one of those insanely trivial excuses to drink. Now, I wrote here, we don't need an excuse, and I think that if I'm a real alcoholic, I can always find a reason to drink. And so what they're saying is here to the wife is that probably you don't have any power, but you don't want to nag him and drive him crazy. And so I think it must be hard for the spouse when you come back in the house. I still remember I was meeting with a new guy 10 days ago, and he had just had a week in, of drinking, and he'd had had to be taken up to Valley Hope, and he was home, and he was, things were tough. And she paged him about six times in that hour. And we were talking about how we're going to live a spiritual life, and we're going to learn how to deal with things, and we're going to learn how to deal with our anger and our judgment. And I said to him, you're getting pretty angry, aren't you? He said, yeah, she's getting really angry. She keeps, and he keeps telling her, cooking off. And I said, well, so you're angry at her. She's bothering you, right? I said, that's normal. She's paging you six times an hour. It's ridiculous. I said, but maybe she's worried about you. Maybe she loves you. You see, there's a different way of looking at it. And that she cares about you, and she just loves you, and she wants to know you're okay. And so I use that as an example in how we can change when we see something and we decide it's bad and these people are bad, and we can look at it differently and change our whole attitude towards it. And we met this week, and she didn't page him one time. Mm-hmm. Okay. See? And so I said, I told him it'll get better.
Michael.
Yeah.
With that paragraph you're just saying, and you said about a real alcoholic, I think it's good to look back at 21 and look at that first full paragraph there.
Read it.
But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker, but at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. And that was a big thing for me, is that it wasn't the why I was drinking, I was an alcoholic, but understanding I'm an alcoholic because I crossed the line, and I would get that misconstrued for a long time.
So. Yep. Yeah, insanely trivial excuses to drink. And then it says, now here's another one. We never, never try to arrange a man's life so as to shield him from temptation. And notice the word shield him from temptation. The slightest disposition on your part to guide his appointments or his affairs so he will not be tempted will be noticed. We lost a member here. He died recently. And his brother called to tell me about the wake. And he was really worried that they were going to have alcohol there. I said, no, you don't have to worry. That's fine. We're in AA. We don't care. But you see how people see us. They're afraid. And so make him feel absolutely free to come and go as he likes. This is important. Now, this ties really, really into pages 100. And when talking about working with others, and we read this a lot, and I think it's really powerful. So if you turn to page 100, at the bottom of the page, it says, assuming we are spiritually fit. Now, that is an assumption. We can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. So that's the point. When you know that you have power over alcohol is when you're spiritually fit. And if you're not spiritually fit, you don't have power, and they call that the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And so we talk about recovered, you hear that a lot. Recovered is when you don't have the mind of a chronic alcoholic and you have a spiritual relationship with your creator so that you're not obsessing about drinking all the time. It doesn't mean that you're not going to drink or that you're immune, but you're not obsessing about it. And you don't see alcohol and say, gee, I really want to drink. Oh my, I got to get out of here or something. It says, people say we must not go where liquor is served. We must not fit, have it in our homes. And I wrote, what does spiritually fit mean? We talk about that all the time. It means basically that I've worked steps 4 through 9 and I'm in step 10 and I have some power in my life. And you don't have to do it perfectly, just the fact that you're working it or you're starting to seek God. You're working with a sponsor, you're reading the book, you're starting the steps, you're starting to move away from your self-centeredness and you're connecting to God, and he'll give you protection. It says we must shun friends who drink, we must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes, we must don't go to bars, our friends must hide their bottles, we mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessary, so they use this word experience a lot. Experience means the observing, encountering, and undergoing of things generally as they occur over time. Knowledge or practical wisdom gain for what has been. And we gain knowledge and practical wisdom of what has been or what we've done. And that's what we share in our experience, right? And so it says, we meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic cannot meet them, still has an alcoholic mind. There's something the matter with his spiritual status. Now, we just spent on Saturdays 3 weeks on the alcoholic mind and more about alcoholism. That the alcoholic mind has no defense against what? The queer mental twist. We have no defense against the first drink. We can't see the truth about alcohol. We don't want to stay in that condition, right? So once you've worked the steps, and by the time you're on page 91, 101, you've worked the steps, and you don't have an alcoholic mind. It says if you have an alcoholic mind, there's something matter with the spiritual status. It says your only chance for sobriety would be the Greenland ice cap, but he says even there an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who sent her husband to distant places on the theory would escape the alcohol problems. And so I think that ties in. And then I like this. It says, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism, a scheme like a plan, which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation. Now think about it. You're going to put a shield around the alcoholic. And you know what I wrote? God is the shield. And so we can never build a shield. Our own shield won't work. We could build a castle. We could build a fortress. Nothing will save us. And so they use that word again, remember, where we just read. It says any idea of shielding him. So we can't shield people is doomed to failure. And here's the key line. I've read this before, but I see more every time. It says that the alcoholic tries to shield himself. We try that, don't we? We try to shield ourselves. We're trying the best we can, right? But guess what? The needed power isn't there, right? We need that who has all power. We don't have any power to do that. So we try it. We don't realize it. But it usually ends up with a bigger explosion than ever. On page 101, we've tried these methods, these attempts to do the impossible have all failed. It's impossible to shield the alcoholic from alcohol. And if you do, they're not going to like it. They're usually not happy at. So I'm back to page 120. Sorry, but it's interesting how this connects. Is that okay when we tie it together? See how the book really is so well written. It says we never try to arrange him to shield from the slightest disposition on your part to guide his appointments or his affairs, so he will be not tempted will be noticed. Make him feel absolutely free to come and go as he likes. This is important. And here's the key. If he gets drunk, don't blame yourself. Now here's a great line. I don't talk about it enough. God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. It's either he's removed it or not. And if not, it better be found out right away, right? Then you and your husband can get right down the fundamentals while doing the steps. And then here's a great line. If a repetition of the relapse is to be prevented, place the problem along with everything else in God's hands. What a great line. Two great lines. God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or not. Place the problem. And that's what we learn in AA. We place every problem in God's hands. And remember it says, we lack a power is our dilemma, right? We need a power to live. And the power solves our problem. What is my problem? My problem is that I don't have a power to live. So if I have a power to live, I don't have any problems anymore. I have situations. And so I thought you'd really like that. And then on page 85, it says that when you get to page 85 and you're in the 10th step, it says, we will seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. We will recoil from it from a hot flame at the bottom. We react sanely normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. This is after you've done steps 4 through 9 and you're living in 10th step. So if you're having a problem with alcohol, try to get to step 10 as soon as you can. Don't waste a lot of time. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us with any thought or effort. I have a new attitude. It just comes. I don't need to be shielded from temptation now. You know why? It says I'm not fighting it. I'm neither avoiding it. I feel as though I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I mean, I've been on a 2-week cruise where all the booze is free, and I don't even notice it. And then like the last night, I'll say, gee, you know, it's all the booze you can drink, and you never even notice it. I just, and you don't look at what other people are drinking either. I don't really care. Placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. Anybody want that?
Yeah.
It says that is our experience, and here's the key. Here's all you have to do to have your alcoholic mind relieved. It says this is how I'm going to react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. And if I keep in fit spiritual condition every day, then I don't have to worry about alcohol anymore. It's not part of my life. So all I have to worry about is getting in fit spiritual condition. And then back to 121, then I'll end up. We realize that we have been giving too much direction advice, probably. We may have seemed to lecture. Yeah, I do that too. Sorry. We all do that. We can't. If that is so, we're sorry, for we ourselves don't always care for people who lecture us. But what we have related is based upon experience. That's why if I don't have an experience that can solve my alcohol problem, I need to rely on their experience. Remember what doctors said, doctor's opinion, you can believe everything these men say about themselves. And so this is a testament. This is a testament of salvation from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And this is their experience. So that's why you may not like AA, you may not like the book, you might not me or whatever, but you can argue with these people's experience. And so AA just says this. Is there anybody in this room who's had trouble with alcohol, their lives unmanageable? Fine. If you don't have a plan to fix this, try this and then tell us your experience. And so that's what we do at meetings, right? And that's what we do when we celebrate birthdays. And that's what we do by coming back and being here for the new people. It says some of it is painful. We had to learn these things the hard way. That is why we are anxious that you understand that you avoid these unnecessary difficulties. So to you out there who may soon be with us, we say good luck and God bless you. And then they have a thing about the Al-Anon and the family groups at the bottom. So I thought that was really good stuff. It's amazing how they tie it all together. And then you'll see in the next week when we do the family afterwards how much more is in there. Do you want to open it up and just share now? Or you want to read family afterwards? What do you want to do?
Open it up.
Let's open it up. Good deal.
Thank you, Dr. Biden.